Hallelujah.
Enjoy that good singing. Say amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm here tonight. Glad you're here. Glad the Lord's here. Let's take our Bible
just for a minute tonight, and I'm going to let you go. Here, go eat you some watermelon. Watermelon's already out? I think they are, ain't they? Amen. Amen. Hello. 1, 2, 3. Hello. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, and we'll look here at some scripture here tonight, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, way over there near the end of 2 Corinthians, and let's see here tonight. We'll look down here tonight, verse 5. I want to do something that I do once in a while this time of year. I haven't done it in 2 years, I think, about 2 years last time I done this. I like to do it at least every 2 or 3 years, and I want to talk about this tonight. About every 2 years, I'll bring this thought to you, and I want you to listen as we start moving into warm weather. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look here what the Bible said. He said, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now that first part of that verse said, examine yourself. Now let's go back to Psalm 26, way back in the Old Testament. Psalm, way back there in the Old Testament. 26, let me show you a verse here. It's always got a hold of my heart. And here it is, Psalm 26 and verse 2. Look at Psalm 26 and verse number 2. We'll show you something here tonight. And he said this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. All right, now I want to preach tonight on the subject, get your 2012 summer tune-up. Get your summer tune-up. Every vehicle, especially the old ones like we used to have for years, has to have a good tune-up once in a while. And as we enter into the summer of 2012, we need to pull in God's garage and let Him just go over a few things with us and make sure we're ready for the long, hot summer. There's a long, hot summer coming up. And you know, most, a lot of people, this time of year, they'll take the car down here somewhere and they'll pull it in and they'll say, I want you to check this and I want you to check that. Give me an inspection sticker. You can get your sticker here tonight, by the way, if you'll just pull in. Right here's the garage. Some of you pulled in here a few minutes ago. All you got to do, just get up here and just aim right in one of these little parking places and just get in it, like is right here. And say, examine me, O Lord, and whatever's wrong with me, fix me and get me ready for the summer of 2012. Now, I've been preaching since I was 19 years old, and I say this every year, and I'll say it again this year. This will be the worst summer we've ever seen. I say that every year. And it's the truth. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The world is worse today than it was last May. I mean, it's more wicked. The lifestyles will be more wicked this summer. The temptations will be greater this summer. The evil will be more this summer. The more alcohol, drugs, all kind of immorality, everything will be moving more this summer than it ever has before. And if we're going to be what God wants us to be in these last days and in these hours, then we need to pull ourselves into His little garage and say, Lord, examine me and prove me and make me go right. Now this is for mamas, this is for daddies, this is for teenagers, everyone who's a Christian here tonight. And I want to say something about it this evening. No matter how good your car is, it needs a good tune-up once in a while. They try to make these new ones where they never need one, but they'll need it sooner or later. I guarantee it. Something will go wrong. Now a few things I want to say, and the first thing I want to say is you've got to have your battery charged. You've got to get your battery charged. You ain't going nowhere. You can have a brand new car. If your battery's dead, you ain't going nowhere, brother. I mean, if your battery's dead, I hate, that's what's on, to go out and try to start a car and the battery be dead. That's an awfulest feeling. And you have that a lot of times in them cold months. And sometimes you go out there, you know, and what I hate is when it teases you a little bit and makes you think it's going to start. It just goes, and you think it's going to, and you think it's going to take out, and it don't. And then you wait for a minute, and then you turn it back on, and you hit the start, and it goes, And you say, oh man, one more time. And you turn it back off because you don't want to run it completely dead. And then the next time you turn it on, it just goes tick, 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 tick. It ain't going to start then, buddy. If it's done got that dead, it ain't going. And I have turned them on where it just goes click. And the little lights come on. That's all the power that battery has, is just that little bitty light. And boy, I tell you, you know, there was a lot of them. Here it is, just May, and there's a lot of them got up this morning, and their eyes opened up, and they said, it's Sunday, time to go to church. And they went, and went back to sleep. Amen. That's true. And there's a lot of them got up and said, oh, I was up late last night. And they went out. And there was some of them woke up this morning and just went tick, 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 and went right back to sleep. Amen. That's right. And you know what? But there was some of them just got, some of them went and got going, and you made it here. I've had them call me. I've had them call me before, Brother Danny, can you come over here and jump me off? I can't get my battery going this morning. And a lot of them do that. You've got to have your battery charged. Now, you know what that means? Your battery charged, you've got to have good preaching. You've got to go to some revival meetings. You know, there's camp meetings going on. One of the advantages that we have of living in this part of the country is there's camp meetings and revivals all over this country. You don't have to agree with everybody there and believe everything they believe to go get a blessing at a camp meeting. I know a lot of people say, well, I ain't going there because they believe this and I don't believe there. I don't go there because I don't like that guy and I don't go there because we don't. Listen, go get you a blessing. Go to some of these revivals and just get your soul fed. Get you some CDs. That's what I do. I get my Mr. T back there. He can get you CDs of some of the greatest preaching that's ever been done in this country. He's got them CDs. We got them in there in the bookstore. I mean, old Hiles and all them guys. I was listening to, he made me an MP3, and it's got about 17 sermons on it. About Jack Hiles back in 1970. And I'm telling you, brother, he'd peel the varnish off that table right there. I mean, hard preaching. And buddy, it's just like, he hits you like that right there. That's good for you, though. That'll get your battery charged up. Amen? If you're down just here, brother. That'll get you going, brother. I'm telling you something. My battery's dead. I can have somebody come over, hook up the jumper cables, leave that thing sitting there for a few minutes. It ain't long. I'm ready to go. And boy, I'll tell you, I've come in ticking before. I've come in just barely making it before. I've come in, maybe somebody had to tow me in. But I sat down there, and God's man get up and start preaching. And the next thing you know, them Holy Ghost jumper cables hook up to my soul, and something goes, I'm ready to go again, amen. How many of you have ever come to church and you felt dead? You felt like your motor was dead. You wasn't going nowhere, but something happened. Somebody got up and sung a song, and the Lord just used it to jump you off, and you went out, whoo, had a little spring in your step, and said, whoo, it's good to be saved. Glad I come to church tonight. Listen, the long, hot summer of 2012 is upon us. I don't know why people backslide in the spring, but they do every year. I've never seen it fail yet. I've been pastoring church since I was 23 years old, and the more people quit and get backslid in the spring of the year than any other time. I know what it is. You've been cooped up all winter. You finally see the sun and feel like the pure devil, don't you? And you just want to just go lay out of church and go to the mountains to see the scenery, or go to the beach and be the scenery. And boy, you just want to lay out on God. And boy, it's sometime that you got in here and said, Lord, charge me up and get me ready. I want to be ready for the summer of 2012. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. You better. I'm telling you, you better. I used to have this boy come out the house once in a while when we first started years ago. He was a young preacher, and he'd bring his Bible over to the house, and he'd say, Brother Danny, teach me. I said, teach you what? He said, anything. He said, I just like to hear you talk about the Bible. Take a verse of Scripture and tell me what it means. Now, you know what he was saying? He was saying, I want some strength off of you. He's saying, hook the cables up to me. Give me some strength. Listen, brother, this is going to be a long, hot one. I guarantee it. This summer's going to be rough. We've got all of the rest of May. We've got all of June. We've got all of July. We've got all of August. We've got about all of September. But I thank God, you know why we do it? We try to put things in there to keep you going. We've got camp. July the 9th, we've got the camp meeting in October. Just every few months, got something just to get you back where you need to be. I'm telling you, we should not be going to church less. Have you noticed how a lot of people are going to church less than they used to? I know people used to wouldn't never miss a service, and now it's nothing for them to miss two services a week. That ain't what we're supposed to be doing. I know. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. My flesh likes the pretty weather too. I love the mountains. I love all that stuff. But I know in my heart, I have got to stay where I can be right with God. I've got to keep my heart right with God. You've got to get your battery charged. I don't understand how come y'all don't listen to preaching. Listen to some preaching going down the road. You got a CD player. We've got CDs back there. Listen to preaching. You say, well, I just always listen to music. I'm not against listening to music, but put you in some preaching. I'm telling you, you say, well, about time I get interested in it, I'm at work. Well, turn it off and get the rest of it back that evening. That's what my sister does. I've been taking her them Jack Howell CDs, and she said, oh, Danny, I love them. She said, I listen to part of it on the way to work, part of it on the way back to work, back home. And she said, I've been giving them to the girls at work and all that. You know what? I thank God my sister's got enough sense to listen to preaching. She knows that she needs preaching. I told her not long ago, I said, Debbie, I believe the spirit of mom has fell on you. I said, if it has, you're a lucky woman. Amen. I said, praise God. She's always like, my sister Debbie used to live in the trailer down below me, down at the bottom of the hill. And I'm telling you, she'd clean the house and she'd have a tape player with preaching out, and she'd have old Dr. Ruckman on teaching on something, and you could hear him down the holler. I mean, all the way down Hobdom Holler. And Daddy come in one day, and Daddy come in, he said, Debbie's preached old Peter Rupton till his throat's sore. I'll never forget him saying that. He didn't know who his name was. But you could hear it. You could hear it. And my nephew Wesley, he sings when he's washing his car, but everything. But Debbie had listened to preaching, and I always listen to preaching. I mean, why not? Why not? Why not just get your soul fed while you're working around the house, lady? I mean, why not just put in some old red hot sermon? I ain't talking about some of that old mushy stuff on TV. I mean, get you some preaching and put it in there. I mean, you can't like them little eye tangs and stick things in your ears. Put some preaching of the Word of God. Get your battery charged. Hear the Word of God. It'll help you to make it through the summer of 2012. Amen. Well, I got to get on here tonight. You got to make sure your spark plugs are working good. You got to make sure your spark plugs are working good. Your car ain't no good if it ain't got good spark plugs. I bought Corey, when she got her license, I bought her that Jetta, that Volkswagen Jetta. And she loved that thing. I like it. I love them little cars. They're hard to work on. They ever tire up. But I tell you what, that's a good little old car. And it was that little black Volkswagen Jetta. And one day she told me, she said, Daddy, something's wrong with my car. She said, it ain't right. Something's wrong with it. And I drove it. And every time you'd try to go up a hill, it would go just sort of spit and sputter like it was missing. And I thought, oh Lord, hey, something around this transmission slipping, or it's something in the computer. I could just see $2,000, you know, in my head too. And I didn't give that much for the car. I've got what to give for it. Wasn't a whole lot. And I said, honey, I bought it wrecked, and Ray Blankenship fixed it, and we gave it to her. And she said, Daddy, something's wrong with it. It got worse and worse. It'd do all right when you was on level ground, and as soon as you hit a hill, it would just start doing this and miss it. And I thought, oh Lord, what are we going to do? All right. And I thought, oh my goodness, this thing's going to cost me a fortune. Oh, it's going to be something terrible, you know, in the computers or something like that. You know what it was? You guessed it. Spark plug wires. And I had a guy change them, and that thing drove like brand new. There's something in them spark plugs. I don't know how spark plugs work. They got to have that little bitty gap in there, and fire shoots in there. I have no idea how that works. But that brother, they spark, and it goes. You know what? Tonight, you've got to have your spiritual spark plugs working in your life, ladies and gentlemen. You know what your spark plugs are? You gotta hit on all cylinders. Here's the way some people live for God. Sunday morning, Sunday night. That was a backfire. You didn't know what that was. Here's going out there. Wednesday night. That's the way some people's Christian life is. There's a word for that. It's called inconsistent. There's a word for that. It's called missing. Man said, boy, my car's missing. I said, That'll preach. That's church members. Lord have mercy. He said, Brother Danny, my car's missing. I said, half the church members are missing. I said, they need a tune-up. They need some spark plug wires. You need to get yourself going. Amen. I'm going to tell you the secret. Can I tell y'all the secret tonight? The secret is you make up your mind by the grace of God. You're going to do right. You're going to go to church. You're going to read the Bible. It don't matter how pretty the weather is. It don't matter if it's 4th of July, 3rd of July, birthday, whatever. By the grace of God, you're going and you're going to do what God wants you to do. And if you fail, confess it, get up, and go on for God. That's the secret of the Christian life. You got to have your brakes checked. For years, and I still feel like this, I hate brakes. How you ever going to get anywhere stopping? I used to say, brakes are an obstacle between me and where I'm going. How in the world are you going to get anywhere putting on brakes? I used to be behind this. My daddy always said, Mom, put her brakes on going down the hill. Or up a hill. Said she'd be going uphill and have a brake, foot on brake. She probably did. She wore that brake pedal out. When my mom would ride with me, she would sit over there like this, over there, and she'd say, son, you're following too close, son. And she'd have her foot like that, pushing. She'd be pushing in the floor. And then she'd start beating the dash. I'd say, Mom, I'm not going to hit that car. Yes, you are. You're going to hit that car. And her leg be killing her time we got wherever we was at. Her pushing the brakes over there in the passenger side. And I said, Mom, I'm not going to hit him. Yes, you are. If you don't quit following him so close, you're going to run into it. But listen, it'd be good. Can I just say this and we'll move on because I'm not going to preach long. You know what brakes are for? You're going down the road like this. You're going somewhere. Your brakes are to keep you from wrecking. Your brakes are to keep you from injuring yourself. Your brakes are to keep you from hurting somebody else. Your brakes are to keep you from killing somebody. Your brakes are, if you didn't have brakes, if there was no brakes, there would be wrecks everywhere. People got to learn how to use brakes. Teenagers, you listen to it? Listen, I'm talking to all you people here this evening. Everybody here, you've got to learn to put on the brakes. You can't just let yourself go. You can't just say, boy, it's summer, I'm going to live it up. No, sir, I'll do whatever. You better learn when to slow that thing down. You better learn where to draw the line. You better learn where to stop. Because if you don't, you'll wreck and hurt yourself or maybe others, your family, your friend. I know people that said, no brakes on. I'm just going to live it up. I'll get drunk. I'll smoke dope. I'll do it all that. And they wrecked their life. And they hurt their family. And they tore it up. I know the devil tempts us. I know we all have temptations of the flesh. But you've got to know sometimes you've got to go, and throw on the brakes. If all them boys at work saying, hey, let's go to the bar Friday night, we put on the brakes. We say, we're not going with you. If they want to go to the club where they're drinking and partying and living immoral, you young people, put on the brakes. You've got to put the brakes on once in a while. You can't just do everything and let your life go or you will wreck it. Just like driving down the road with no brakes, you're going to wreck. You're going to hit something, hurt somebody. You better know when to stop. Amen? You better know when to stop. Your flesh wants to go here. Your flesh wants to go there. But you know in your heart, draw a line and stop. You say, where do I draw the line? Where God draws it. I'll just say something about these issues that's come up lately. This homosexual stuff that's stirred up here in North Carolina. They are now, I heard on the radio this week, that major preachers and denominations are now backing up because of the pressure and taking another look at homosexuality. They're saying maybe we've been wrong all these years. Maybe it is natural and maybe it's just non-monogamous, non-marital homosexuality that the Bible condemns, like adultery and things like that. and it's in a loving, committed marriage, then it's okay. And major denominations, preachers are saying that all over this country tonight. And they're saying, oh, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying, maybe we need that, like, you know who started that? President, when he said, I have evolved. He said, I've evolved. I used to feel this way, but I know this person and they're nice, and so I've evolved. And that's what the other preachers are saying. They're saying, well, I know these people and they're nice. Listen, just because somebody's nice does not mean what they're doing is right. And we've got to make up our mind. We're going to draw a line. We're going to draw a line. We're not going to be a smart aleck. I'm not going to be ugly. The day may come when I go to jail for what I'm saying right now. Y'all listen to me? You better come bail me out. I'm telling you, the day may come when I go to jail for what I'm saying right now. I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. God don't love me more than He loves a homosexual. God loves everybody the same. He died for them. He died for me. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if we say that's right, we got to say adultery's right. We got to say murder's right. We got to say lies. And then there ain't nothing wrong. I'm telling you, you got to put the brakes on somewhere. And we put the brakes on where the Bible puts them on. Ain't no use in making up a bunch of stuff the Bible don't say. There's plenty enough in here to keep you living right. Put the brakes on. Lord, I know churches. I know churches. If I can talk to you out of my heart for a second. That's got so many convictions and beliefs. Lord, nobody can live up to them. I know there's told me of a great preacher in this nation. And the preacher has preached hard about TV and movies and stuff. And he ought to. And we all should. We know 80% of what's on the movies is wicked. You know that. And I know it. And everybody knows it. Ain't no use saying it ain't. But he preached against all of it. And you know what he told somebody? He's way up near 70 years old now. He said, you know what? I sure would like to put my arm around my little wife and sit back and watch a good clean movie once in a while. He said, but I can't. He said, I've done preaching against all that stuff. Hard people think I was a hypocrite. Now, you ain't supposed to get yourself into a mess like that. You're not supposed to preach yourself. You know, them guys preach against wire-rimmed glasses. I don't even know if they have them anymore. Is anybody, y'all got them? Is that like his? Sort of like his right here? They preach against that. You ain't never heard that? A lot of independent pastors. You've heard of them, Mark. Back about in the early 80s, they was all saying, bless God. They said, you will not stand in my pulpit and wear them wire-rimmed glasses. And everybody said, why? Does anybody know why? It's them. Because everybody used to wear them old dark horn rim. They're back in style now. But everybody used to wear them old big old horn rim glasses. Then the hippies, John Lennon and them, started wearing the wire rim glasses. So they said you was worldly and following the world if you wore wire rim glasses. And Ed Blue got up and he preached, you know, and preached, and they called him a hypocrite and everything else. And one night he got up to preach. I thought about Brother Cain, he's talking about this morning, all that stuff. Brother Ed got up and he preached, and there was a woman come up to him at service. He said, I can't believe you. I'm never coming back to hear you preach. He said, why? What did I say? She said, it's not what you said, it's what you did. He said, what'd I do? You know what you did. He said, ma'am, I don't. If I offended you, I'm sorry. I have no... You know exactly what you did, preacher. And you know what? He never could figure it out. You know what she told him he was doing? Brother Ed, one of them old preachers, had his glasses down like that, big old glasses, and they'd fall down here on his nose. And he'd go around there preaching like that right there, and he'd take his finger and push them glasses up like that right there. And she thought he was shooting a bird to her. That old dirty-minded woman that was sitting there thinking, I can't believe that preacher's up there shooting me the bird, giving me the finger while he's preaching. What a nut. What a nut, man. I mean, listen, what I'm saying is, we got plenty in the Bible to worry about without trying to live by them stuff that ain't Bible. He said, well, how come we can't have wire-rimmed glasses? They said the hippies started it. And Ed Blue got up and he said, bless God, if them hippies ever start liking cornbread and buttermilk, I've had it. He said, I love cornbread and buttermilk. He said, I hope the hippies don't start liking it. I'm telling you, listen, you know, one of the hardest things in the world for a preacher to do is preach hard and stay right, but don't get stupid and believe a bunch of stuff that ain't backed up by the book. Say amen right there. Lord have mercy, people. We got to be balanced. We got to keep our brakes on. We got to be one of the hardest things for you to do. You know what? You know what? We come in here Wednesday night and we talked about that issue with Charles Worley. And if you wasn't here Wednesday night, you missed it. And you know what I had to do? I had to balance everybody out. Because you got some ready to fight, and then some saying this, some, and it's hard to stay balanced. You have to love the sinner, but hate the sin at the same time. You have to stay balanced and do as God would have you to do. And a hard thing to do is love the sinner and hate the sin. Hard to do. Hard to distinguish. You've got to know where to put the brakes on. Amen. And then you got to have your tires in good shape. You know what your tires are? Your gospel shoes. Now these little shoes I got on here tonight, these are not my good ones. They got little rubber bottoms on them. And I got them at the Burlington store down there in Charlotte. And boy, them things feel good. But I mean, they don't look that hot, but they feel real good. And you know what? I got tread on them things. I can get good tread on them. That's the way your tires ought to be. You've got to have some tread on your tire where the rubber meets the road. You've got to know the gospel and know how to present it. Your gospel shoes. Your gospel shoes. You've got to have the gospel on tip of your tongue. You know what? When you go on vacation this summer, take you some tracks. Somebody on the radio heard me say that I went to Chinese restaurants and was having a hard time witnessing to the people and brought me a stack of tracks, Chinese tracks the other night to revival. I heard you say on the radio, preacher, you couldn't witness Chinese people. Here you are. And brought me a stack of Chinese tracks. I said, thank you, man. I've got them out there in the car if anybody wants some. Next time you go into one of these places, I don't know if it's upside down. It looks like a chicken scratched on there. I said, here you are. Read this. And I witness to them from now on. You know what? I got my gospel shoes on. I want to be a witness this year. If you go to Gatlinburg, be a witness for the Lord. Amen. I mean, if you go to the mountains, you go to the coast, or if you go wherever, I mean, be a witness for God. Be a witness for the Lord. Leave some tracts laid around. Take some of them addiction CDs. Put them down. Say, here, give them out. Put your gospel shoes on and present it. Then you got to have, make sure, front end. I hate to have a car with my front end out of line. It bothers me. Some people it don't bother. I despise to go up the road and my car wanting to go this way all the time. And you have to hold the steering wheel because it's pulling one way or the other. I know people, I've gotten their car and driving, and I said, man, how do you stand this? And they have to constantly be doing like this, pulling it because it wants to go that way. Because your front end, something knocked your front end out of line. Now you take that thing down there to that mechanic, and he puts it in there, and they put it on a machine. That guy don't just go like that and say, beat it a little bit there, buddy. Yeah, it's about right. Looks pretty good to me. You don't just go by sight. You got a book you go by. Amen. Got a book you go by. And that book tells you when that thing's in line. Like you put my car up there tonight, 07 Lexus ES 300, 350. And it said if you put that in there, those numbers pop up. And that book tells you exactly how to get my car aligned so that when I'm going up the interstate, I can let go of the steering wheel and it'll stay in a straight line. If I let go and it's going this way or that way, I'm out of line. And you know, a lot of God's people are like that. Well, you heard me tell about that old bus that Eastside Baptist used to have up there. That was years ago. Old Bill Long had it. I remember going to church one Sunday morning, and I got behind this old, Lord, that thing was it looked like about a 1955, big old ugly blue bus. And I was behind it, and I got to look at that thing, and it was like the back tires wasn't following the front tires. That thing was going down the road like this. That's the way it looked going down the road. I thought, that's a crazy thing going around a curve everywhere he went. It was warped or something. It was like the back tires over here and the front. That couldn't be good for your tires. That couldn't. I mean, they must wire it quick. I said, man, they wrecked that thing or something. Just needs to just slap it right back in line. And that's where a lot of God, you know, a lot of God's people walking crooked. They just ain't walking straight. I mean, they just sort of, you know, like this, staggering around, doing like that. Hey, let's let the Lord line us out tonight. By the way, did you know up in the mountains, that's what they call it when you rededicate your life? They call it, up Whippern, Kentucky and stuff, they call it lined out. I've heard that lots of times. You know, you all ever been to revival in the mountains? They say, old so-and-so's backslid. He come Sunday night and got lined out. And what they mean is he got straightened out. And that'd be the way we'd say it. He got straightened out. He's crooked. He's wobbling off over here in the bar somewhere. Or he's wobbling off over here in a false doctrine somewhere, and he got lined out. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, you got to get your front end lined. You got to have your oil checked. The Bible teaches that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit or vice versa. And you better not drive your car without oil. You can drive them without gas and it won't hurt them. But you better not drive it without oil. Or you tear it all to pieces. This old van I used to have and go preach in all the time. I drove that old thing everywhere in the country. And we'd preach on top of it. Had a platform on top of it. Had a ladder up beside of it. We preached all over this country on that old van. And it was an old Ford Econoline van. And that thing, it used oil, leaked oil. And I never did even check it. You say, you never checked? Never checked it. I waited till I heard it tick. It started going tick, 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 tick. I said, uh-oh, need some oil. Now, you're not supposed to let them get down that low, are you? That's what I've heard. That's the way I did it. I'd drive it till I heard it start ticking. I'd say, I'm low on oil. You're going up a hill, it goes tick, 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 tick. I said, oh, Lord. I'd pull in, and I'd anoint it with about 2 quarts of oil. I put 1 quart in, pull that thing out, and it didn't have one of them little lid on that thing. You stick a rag down in there. Y'all ever done that? How many of you ever stuck a rag down in that hole there because you lost your lid? check your oil or whatever. And I just poured in it till it quit ticking. But I knowed it needed oil. I didn't know if it was full, empty, or what, but when it was ticking, it better. And there's a lot of God's people. There's a lot of Sunday school teachers, choir singers, everything. You're just going tick, 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 tick. That's why you get ticked off so easy, I reckon. That's why you get your feelings hurt so easy, I guess. That's right. You need the oil of the Holy Ghost. Last thing I'll say, you don't have to have this, but you need your air conditioning. Stay cool. You've heard of road rage? That's a new thing people talk about, road rage. You got it? Y'all stay out of her way when you pull in here. Y'all do know, we just about had 2 ladies getting a fight out here in the parking lot one Sunday morning. A couple years ago out there. Neither one of them come to church here now. Coming a hair getting a fight right out there in the parking lot. One of them called me, I ain't coming there if she's there. I said, now that ain't no way to be. This is your church. And they go, I ain't coming if she's there. I said, now look, what happened? She saw me and she opened that door and that made me wreck. I come in a hair getting out whooping her. I said, now just chill here now. Take it easy. You ain't going to whoop nobody here on the church property while I'm here. I'll call the cops on you. That guy said the other day, said, if so-and-so shows up at church, I'm going to beat him up. I said, not at church, you ain't. You can go across the interstate, you can beat each other's brains out. I don't care. But you ain't going to do it right here on God's house. Amen. This is God's house. It's here to worship. We ain't here to fight. Amen. I've heard people say, we're going to meet at church and fight. No, you ain't neither. We'll throw you out of here. Amen. We'll escort you off the property. Amen. If you're here to sell drugs, we'll call the cops on you too. We've had people do that. Come here, they're dealing drugs right in the church parking lot and sell them, pass them around. Listen, not on our watch. No, sir. I'm telling you, you got to stay cool. Get your air condition fixed. I guess you could call it pew rage. I guess. You get on the right road and take care of all these things, point it toward heaven, and just floor it. Get on the bus route this summer. Come out Saturday morning, go visiting. Just get straight, man. Just get straight. Get your 2012 summer tune-up. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, never eye closed. Every head bowed, never eye closed. Amen. Come and get a song tonight. While they're coming, maybe God's dealing with your heart. I don't know. It's going to be a long, hot summer, brother. It's going to be a long, hot summer. May God help us. Let's pull into God's garage tonight.